Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by you guys. The Lakers are sitting up 2-1 in their series against the juggernaut that is the Portland Trail Blazers. And I have a ton of questions that you guys have that you put into iTunes. So let's go ahead and get underway with that. First question here comes from Anthony WP9 writing, "Hey Anthony and Pete, why is no one mentioning or talking about the fact that the Blazers, specifically Dame, have been basically playing do or die basketball since the bubble started? No wonder they are playing good right now. They have to win, whereas the Lakers literally needed two wins to secure their position." As I was reading this, I recognized that, or I realized that I had answered this previously, but the series to this point has kind of played out how you would expect, right? The team with momentum won the first game, and then once that adrenaline kind of laid off a little bit, the Lakers took it to them, and they bounced back, and they made it a closer game in game three, but at the end of the day, the better team wound up winning that one. And I think that's kind of how we're going to see the rest of the series. Maybe Portland wins another one, but I'm pretty sure the Lakers wind up taking care of business in five. But hey, it's hard to beat any team four times in a row, and especially a team with a player as good as Dame. So we'll have to keep an eye on that aspect of it. But yeah, in terms of the momentum, you know, heading into the series, I thought that maybe Portland would win one game and then the Lakers would kind of take care of business from there, being the better team. And to this point, we're at that spot as well. Next question here comes from Calzone 11. You guys have ripped on JaVale McGee saying, oh no, I went the wrong direction. Sorry, guys. Next question actually comes from International Laker fan. "Hey, Anthony and Pete, I can't wait for these playoff podcasts. They've been a lot of fun. My question, with the PG versus game or Dame beef, quote unquote beef, it made me think about who of the top of the two I'd rather have on this Lakers team. It's tough because PG has that two-way value, but Dame is that shot creation, shot maker we so desperately need and can heat up any time. I would personally add Dame because having him and AD on defense would be unreal. You would add PG because having him and Dame or AD on the same team would be unreal defensively, and he can handle the ball in non-LeBron minutes." Well, all right, so how can I say this delicately? Paul George isn't about that life. Like that playoff, high intensity, it's time to, you know, sack up or go home. I don't think Paul George has that in him to be able to handle those situations. We've seen him on multiple occasions come up well short, and you know, we're seeing it here in this Dallas series where I think he's averaging something like 15 points a game. And you know, between the two of them, I don't think there is a perfect choice because Dame is going to be a little older, but I think I'd rather have Dame just from the standpoint of give me the guy who I know for a fact is never going to be afraid of the moment, because I can't say that about Paul George right now. And like, not only is Paul George afraid of the moment, but I don't think he's very confident in himself. I think, you know, when you read his when you read his quotes and you listen to him talk, it's a lot of trying to please people, which isn't necessarily a bad thing in all circumstances. I think it's good to be aware of what people might want to hear, but you also have to stay true to what you bring to the table. And I'm still waiting to see that from George to this point. So yeah, I think here with George and moving forward, if you had to make me choose between him and Dame to pair with AD for the rest of his time as a Laker, I think I would go Dame. Just he's a fucking badass. Like, pardon my French, and I know it's a technical term, but Dame is so effing cool in those big moments. Whereas, you know, the dude that he hit that shot before he waved goodbye is not. Let's take one more question here, and then I will keep on answering your questions. So let's go. Kanye Stan says that this is one of their favorite podcasts. Coach Pete is the best. He is. He's really good. I'm also here. M. Talby 010 writes, love the podcast. Cincinnati Lakers fan here. Talk me off a ledge. The Blazers look like the best 8 seed ever. If we reseed the playoffs based on current pure talent alone, I'd easily put them 2 or 3 in the Western Conference. Do the Lakers even have a chance? Honestly, no. The Lakers should be happy to have any kind of a series lead against a team that was, as Chuck said, it's supposed to sweep them. Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, or brought to you in part by Built Bar. They have been here with us over the course of this entire hiatus, and then now that we're into the playoffs, they have re-upped their support with us. So I really want to make sure, and one of the things I am absolutely the most proud about is that we went out and supported them to the tune of running out of inventory. That's pretty freaking awesome. And I want to make sure that we do that again. And it's really easy to do that given how great their product is. Again, this is just the new ones. This is on top of all the great flavors that we had before. But caramel brownie, cookies and cream, which I've tried and is amazing. Cherry Barcia, which is an incredible name. Lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. And then all of these bars are super healthy. And if you log on to or hop on to builtbar.com and then use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. And that's a running offer. Like, that is not, hey, you got to do this with your first offer. No, this is going to be how it is going to be moving forward. And then also, so long as they last, you get a free cooler with the purchase. So again, that's builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll save $10 off that order. And then if you use that promo code, you'll also, so long as we still have them, and I believe we do, but we aren't going to have them very long, you're going to get a free cooler with the purchase. One more time, builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. All right, next question here comes from KCP's Anklet. Anthony and Pete, feel so good we're out of the dark ages and watching meaningful Lakers basketball once again. My question is about Danny Green. Have you guys been disappointed with him this season? It feels like he hasn't had a good game since that Dallas game in November when he hit that three to go to overtime. Is he just old or is he a head case? I can't figure it out. He always seems to be in foul trouble and hasn't been hitting threes, which is why he was signed. Curious to see what you think. On a side note, Pete, what is the action call when they run the play to the weak side and have the back screen action on the opposite side where Green flares to the corner for a three? Thanks, guys, and enjoy this playoff basketball. So, I know the term for that. It's a version of a flare screen basically, or sometimes it's called an elevator screen. But basically, as the ball is on the weak side and the dribbler dribbles to the baseline, you'll have Green standing up on the wing, and he'll kind of float down to the corner, and you'll have the big come up and set that screen. And if you have both players run to the shooter, in this case Green, you'll have that big who set that screen flash to the basket, and he'll be open under the basket. Or if nobody rotates over to the shooter, obviously he's wide open in the corner. Now, in terms of the question here with Green, I have no idea what's going on here with Green. I think there's some recency bias because he hasn't been good in the bubble, but this is kind of who Green is. He'll go through stretches where it looks like he can't throw a pea in the ocean, but then he'll have a series where he shoots like 60% from three. And hopefully the Lakers are still alive and able to enjoy that series, because if Green continues playing like this, I don't know if they get by Houston. But if he does turn things around and is just nuclear from 3-point range, then they can beat anybody. Let's go another question here from MJC Houdat. Love the show. What's wrong with LeBron? He looks so out of it. Whew, this is a tough one. I mean, Pete and I talked about it on last show, and maybe a couple shows ago, and we talked about his abilities at the 3-point line, and basically with LeBron and with every player as they age, that is going to be where you see some slippage compared to anywhere else on the court. You can get by defensively with headiness and by studying your opponent. You can obviously still be a great passer if you're LeBron. You're probably still going to be able to score because you're so big and so strong that you can back down anybody. And once you get your shoulder by somebody, you are impossible to turn the opposite direction. But where age really shows up, and I remember this is one of the things that Charles Barkley said that was actually absolutely on point. He said that he watched Kobe one play pump fake down low when he didn't necessarily have to. And he, Charles, was like, yep, that's the first time I realized I'm old. That's the first time that I really recognized that, yeah, Father Time was calling my name. And it's because you hear footsteps when you don't necessarily hear them, and it's because your athleticism isn't at that point where it used to be, where LeBron used to be when he had any kind of steam heading downhill towards the basket. He was going to dunk it, and he was going to embarrass somebody. And you actually saw it the other day against Nurkic, right, in the play that we talked about previously, where he had a full head of steam, he had a full clear path, and he very easily could have just risen up off of that left leg of his. It's essentially a piston from a car, and dunked it on whoever got in his way. And Nurkic recognized, too, to the point where he made a business decision and got out of the way. But because LeBron saw Nurkic there in the first place, he tried to go under the basket and make a reverse layup on the other side and missed it. And that spoke volumes to me. Now, it might be something else is going on. It might be that his groin isn't, you know, fully healthy. I've heard some kind of whispers about that. It might be any number of things that's going on there. But, you know, this is where age kind of shows up. And it would be a bummer for it to show up right now, given how fresh we saw him before the league went on hiatus. But when you see LeBron avoiding contact at the rim, or pump faking, or overthinking things at the rim, that's where he's kind of in his head, and it's because he's not as explosive as he once was when he was, you know, 24, 25 years old, just like all of us. So we'll see if this thing kind of evolves over the course of the postseason. But right now, this is, you know, we talked about Green earlier and how if he isn't making three-pointers that the Lakers are a very different team. That's obviously objectively true. But if LeBron isn't nuclear God mode LeBron, athletically, physically, to go with the mental aspects that he brings to the basketball court, then the Lakers are in some issue, are going to be in some trouble. Now, look, we're seeing with the Clippers, they just lost to the Mavericks last night. By the time you guys are listening to this, Houston looks like they're, you know, a buzzsaw of their own. Denver is getting run off the court by Utah. Jokic is just like straight up quitting. So, you know, every team, especially in the Western Conference, has some kind of question. It's just a matter of, you know, which team's questions are the loudest. And in this case, if LeBron isn't fully, you know, LeBron effing James, then that's a pretty loud question with the Lakers. Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, I have one more question to answer for you guys. Today's show is brought to you in part by CBDMD.com. Head on over to CBDMD.com. Check out their entire category, which has everything from CBD gummies. They have a CBD PM for sleep. They have the CBD bundle, which comes with everything that you might need. And then on top of all of that stuff, they also have these pet CBD soft chews for dogs that we actually use with Callie. And my father-in-law is a veterinarian. We talked to him about it, and he said, no, actually, they're making some incredible advancements in kind of more holistic medicine, and a lot of the stuff is having great results without some of the side effects that you see sometimes with prescribed medicine. Now, it's not for everybody, obviously, but if you do your research and you check out CBD products, make sure once you're comfortable with it that you head on over to CBDMD.com and use the promo code NBA at checkout to get 25% off of your purchase. Again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of all of the superior products that CBDMD offers. Again, at CBDMD.com. All right, last question here comes from Kinetic Groove. Who's been your most hated playoff opponent since the Lakers have faced? I've thought about this a lot. And obviously, the team that we all have to talk about at the very top of the list is going to be the Celtics. And it's not just a basketball thing. Like, hating the Celtics is a tradition. And it's not just, that they beat the Lakers back when YMCA guys were playing. It's not just that, they beat the Lakers in 2008, but it's a cultural thing. And I'm not even talking about the culture of Boston, right? Which is kind of gross in and of itself, especially when you're talking about racial tensions in that city. I'm not even talking about that. But when you look at the culture of the Boston Celtics and the culture of the Los Angeles Lakers, I am personally offended that there are people who root for the Celtics who think like Red Auerbach is the most important person in Celtics history, right? I am personally offended that Danny Ainge gets the amount of respect that he gets as an executive. And when you look at the Lakers' history, it is the organization lifting up the players who actually really deserve it. It's Dr. Jerry Buss lifting up Magic Johnson as the icon that he absolutely was as a player. It's the Buss family again lifting up Kareem and the amount of respect that Magic had for Kareem for what he brought to the table to the Lakers. It's the way, I'm recording this on Kobe Bryant's birthday, right? And the way that when you hear Jeannie Buss talk about Kobe, it's with this foremost respect for this absolute icon who on multiple occasions over the course of basically 20 years lifted up the organization. And it's an understanding that it is the players who win championships. It is the players that define a city and define greatness, not the coach, not the executive. It's the players who make the machine work. And when you listen to people talk about the Celtics, I don't always get that sense. Brad Stevens gets a whole bunch of credit for somebody who's never even been to the finals. And it's not the steps forward that Jason Tatum has taken. It's not the steps forward that Jaylen Brown has taken. And this is now time after time after time after time. And we're now on the latest iteration of executives and coaches and white people behind the scene getting credit for people of color's greatness. That pisses me off. And so when you talk about like, why do I hate the Celtics? It's because they stand for everything, in my opinion, that is wrong, not just with some sports talk, but with this country. the fact that the labor isn't being celebrated, it's management, and fuck that. Like, give me the workers who actually break their backs for the successes that management gets to celebrate. That, to me, is something that the Lakers have always gotten right, is that they recognized that while Dr. Jerry Buss was obviously a very special owner, and while Jerry West is the greatest basketball mind in the history of executives in the NBA, while you have great coaches like Phil Jackson and Pat Riley, who obviously played an immense role in the success that the Lakers had, at the end of the day, it was Kareem, it was Magic, it was Jerry West himself, it was Wilt, it was George Mikan, it was Kobe, it was Shaq, it's now LeBron, it's now Anthony Davis. Those guys are the reasons why the Lakers are the Lakers. And, you know, when you talk about, like, playoff foes and rivalries and stuff like that, you're never going to get a team that is as annoying as the Celtics, because on a very foundational level, I hate everything about them. Other teams that kind of, you know, stand up, obviously the Blazers have given problems. Obviously the Kings have given problems. Right now the Clippers are kind of particularly annoying, just in the same way that a gnat is annoying or a mosquito is annoying. But in terms of, like, teams that I find myself loathing entirely, it's the Celtics, and there aren't very many contenders for second place. It's just, you know, you have to earn the amount of respect that is demanded of you. And I don't think the Celtics as an organization have earned very much respect in terms of how they treat their players, how the conversation goes about their players. That to me is where I'd say that the Lakers have done things right and the Celtics have done things wrong. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys a ton for all of your questions. I greatly appreciate that. Let's keep those rolling in, because without those questions, I am not able to do our Monday episodes. So let's keep those things rolling in. If you guys, you know, want to, if you don't have access to iTunes, you could, Locked On Lakers has a Facebook that you guys can check out. And I want to build the community around that. Locked On Lakers also has a Twitter account that you can at. It's at Locked On Lakers if you have a question there, and I'll try to see those. But yeah, without questions, without topics, I'm not able to really talk about much on Mondays. So let's keep that stuff rolling in. Pete and I will be back to talk about the game tomorrow night. But until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you on tomorrow.